Welcome back into Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL at 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you. And the Cleveland Cavaliers, of course, will kickstart their season 6 days from today. And a voice that you're all extraordinarily familiar with, calling so many high school athletic events over the past 27 years here on the airwaves of AM 930 WEOL. Many of you have already heard him call the Cleveland Cavaliers preseason games. Well, he's on the call next Wednesday when the Cavaliers are down in Orlando, the one and only Tim Elkhorn. Tim, as always, a pleasure, my friend, to have you on. And I know you're excited for the start of the regular season next Wednesday in Orlando. We'll start with some general thoughts and impressions that you have of this team and the preseason games that you've seen from the Cavaliers to this point.
Well, certainly, Bull. And how about this? Tim Elkhorn barging in on Bullseye on the Afternoon on WEOL. I guess the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
it's been an interesting 4 games to watch this team. And certainly, as we've said throughout the preseason, this is a work in progress. And the work is not going to be done by next Wednesday night, as you said, when the Cavaliers open it up in Orlando. You've got a brand new coach in John Beilein, who, of course, inherits not only a young team, but one that's coming off a very difficult season last year. And he's trying to implement a brand new system. So there's a lot that's trying to get accomplished. And the old cliche, Rome wasn't built in a day, and this team won't be built during the preseason or during the first couple of months of the year. This is going to be a long process. Now, I think there's going to be dividends at the end, but they're going to go through some growing pains. But you mentioned the preseason, what we've seen, the glimmers of what will be seen as the year unfolds certainly have been there. Three draft choices, of course, three number one draft choices. Dylan Windler didn't play during the preseason, and he won't play at the start of the regular season. But first of all, the first overall number one pick, Darius Garland, he's had some flashes of brilliance. So you can see why he went in the top five. This young man can really create things at the offensive end. Again, he's going to need some teaching. He's going to need some coaching. But you can see why the Cavs were so high on him. And then a lot of folks talking about Kevin Porter Jr. He has athleticism. He has the ability to create points for himself. He's a raw talent. I mean, this kid isn't going to be just coming right out of the chutes, at an extraordinary level. But he has flashed some things this preseason that really has opened up Jim Jones and I and myself, and it really opened up our eyes.
What are some things that stand out about John Beilein to you? Because it's an interesting transition after all the success that he had in the college ranks. How is that going to transition into success in the NBA? That's the question everybody seems to ask. What are some things that stand out to you, not only in the preseason games that you've seen, but in the practices that he's run as well?
Well, it's more the latter than the former, Bull. As I mentioned, we have an opportunity as the broadcast team, Jim and I, as well as John Michael and Austin on the television side, to watch practices. Of course, they're closed to the print media and to fans, obviously, but it's interesting to watch those practices. They're long, but again, he's trying to get so much in that he couldn't just do 90-minute or two-hour practices. Most practices that I've been to have run about 3 hours. A lot of fundamental work. So you can see that college background coming through where they literally work on drills. They do a lot of station work. Of course, Cleveland Clinic courts, you've got the two, full court basketball courts. And then so you've got four baskets to work with. So he'll break the team up in four different stations. So a lot of fundamental work. It's been interesting to watch him go through that. The young guys, certainly have accepted that very, very well because that's what they're used to. For the veteran guys, it's been interesting. I think they almost look at it as a welcome change. I know John Beilein has used the term a couple of times during the preseason that veterans, as good as they are, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, sometimes they have slippage, is the word that Coach Beilein has used. And so for them to get back to just the fundamentals of the game, I think it's been welcome for them as well. So the practices have been really interesting to watch. Game-wise, I think John's still adjusting to the NBA. The shorter shot clock and the different matchups and trying to learn this team. So, again, that's a work in progress, and I think Coach Beilein would be the first to admit that.
You had talked about the relationship with the veterans and how this has kind of been a little refreshing for them as well to take place in a practice like this, in an environment like that, that might be at least kind of different to them. It really seems like they have taken to all of this seamlessly, which you don't always see in the NBA. When you're used to one way of doing things, change isn't always something that players who are considered veterans really adapt well to. But, you know, they're saying all the right things. Seems like they're doing all the right things. And that can't help but be a good thing moving forward, right, when you're talking about the Tristan Thompsons and the Kevin Loves of the world?
And Matthew Dellavedova, throw him in there as well. I mean, that's a guy that's played on an NBA Finals team. So, yes, and I think John Beilein needs that type of veteran leadership with these young players. He needs Kevin and Tristan and Deli to kind of show the way for the younger guys like Colin Sexton, like Darius Garland, and as I mentioned, Kevin Porter. So, and even you can throw Larry Nance and Clarkson in that mix as far as the veterans that need to show these younger guys. So, they're leading by example. Whether John Beilein sat down with those guys and said, look, I need you to do this for our team, or the fact that they're just professionals and realize these are what veterans are supposed to do, or a combination of both. But, yeah, the veterans, as you said, they have said the right things. They have done the right things. And keep in mind, this is a team that's coming off a 19-win year last year. So they want to get better. They want to improve. So I think whatever Coach Beilein is offering right now, they're willing to listen to.
We are speaking with Tim Alcorn, the radio voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You probably don't need that introduction, but I wanted to throw that in there anyway because it's still pretty cool for me to say. And this has been such a fascinating preseason schedule to me. I mean, it all started with the Argentinian team, and of course they've had a couple of bouts with the Celtics. Tim, I'm not quite sure what to make of these preseason games, because you hear from a lot of people, don't put too much stock into it because, you know, the stars aren't necessarily out there playing a ton. You know, you're seeing some rotational work get mixed in there that you might not see a whole lot of during the regular season. So how much should we make of what we saw from the Cavaliers in the preseason?
I would say probably not too much. Again, that first preseason game, as you said, San Lorenzo, a team out of Argentina. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but that wasn't NBA competition per se. And then you go up Detroit, or go up to Detroit. I think the Cavs would look at that game as the one that they would say, okay, that's the one, if we really showed what we could possibly be during the regular season, it would be that Piston game. I had the 19-point lead. Most of the guys played in that contest. So I think maybe that one was the true picture as far as what the Cavaliers are anticipating for the upcoming year. The Boston loss in Boston Sunday afternoon, as John Beilein said, he didn't even show the film to his guys. I mean, Tristan didn't play, Love didn't play, Garfield didn't play. They're down by 50 points. I think he took that film and just burned it in his backyard once he got back from Boston. And then, you know, the other night with the Celtics, same scenario. I mean, Deli gets hurt, sprains the thumb. Kevin Love picks up early fouls. He has to sit for a long time. And I think they decided, you know what, let's not risk it and get them all warmed back up again. Let's just keep them out the rest of the ball game. So I guess of the four bowl, I would look at the Detroit game last Friday and say that's the one that I would think Coach Beilein and his staff would look at and say, if there's a true representation of any of the four preseason games, that would be the one.
We talked a little bit about some of the veterans a couple minutes ago. There's another name I want to bring up, only because he really kind of gets overlooked because he hasn't been on the floor really at all. I know he played in a couple of practices, he participated in a couple of practices. You know, what are the expectations with John Henson? I ask that because I know he's in the last year of his contract. You know, he makes a pretty good chunk of change, but the Cavaliers have never really had the benefit of a healthy John Henson, and if indeed he does get healthy, what kind of a role do you think he could play on this team?
I'll tell you what, when he was playing in practice and able to go, that young man's impressive. I mean, he's got some length, he's got some defensive ability, he creates an inside presence for the Cavs. But Bull, to your point, and it's a good one, John Beilein has not been able to watch John Henson in live game action. I know Jim and I talked about this Tuesday night during the Celtics broadcast. And so that's going to be a tough decision because as a new head coach, you want to base your decisions upon who you've seen play, and not just in practice, but again, during NBA game competition. So that makes that question very difficult to answer. I don't know what direction they go with John Henson. I know they would like his inside presence because they are really lacking there, per se. But it's been difficult, and I'm sure that's a decision that Coach Beilein, along with Kobe Altman and the rest of the front office, they're mulling over because I think they would love to see him on that Cavalier roster and love to see him in the lineup, but he just hasn't been able to perform on the floor for them so far.
One of the other young guys I certainly want to hit on here for just a moment, a guy that I think exceeded expectations last year. As an eighth overall pick, I think it's become pretty tough over the years to figure out what the value of that really is. But I thought Colin Sexton, especially the second half of last season, played extraordinarily well. And he seems to be saying and doing all the right things right now. But this is a guy I think we'll be definitely keeping our eye on throughout the course of the year, even though many fans are fixated on Kevin Porter Jr. and, of course, Darius Garland as well. But what are some things that stand out in practice and in some of the preseason games that you've called as well about Colin Sexton, his second year in now?
Well, you mentioned that back half of the year he had last year, including that extraordinary run in the month of March. I don't have my notes right here in front of me, but he put together, I believe, a 7-8-game stretch where he was just incredible on the offensive end of the floor. So, yes, his offensive prowess speaks for itself. That young man can score. Now, the question is, how are you going to play these young guards as a tandem? Because you don't really have that true point guard per se. But as John Beilein has mentioned, he doesn't really look for that point guard and shooting guard. He just looks for good guards. He thinks they can complement one another. Again, that's going to take some time. That's going to be a process. The only thing I would say about Colin Sexton is that if you watch John Beilein's teams at West Virginia and then, of course, at Michigan, there's a lot of ball movement and very little dribbling. I think they're trying to get that out of Colin Sexton a little bit. He does a lot of dribbling, and it chews up a lot of that shot clock. But aside from that, Colin Sexton, as you said, he showed last year what he can do. And again, this year, I think he's going to be the primary threat offensively for the Cavs.
Great stuff. Well, Tim, we look forward to doing this every week throughout the Cavaliers season. Not only do we look forward to your first call of the regular season next Wednesday in Orlando, but I'm looking forward to you doing the Saturday wrap-up show from the Evans Estate on Saturday as well. That should be a blast.
Yeah, we are looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to going over to Tommy's, and I guess some guests will be there. I know Tommy will have the grill going, so one final go-round on the Saturday morning wrap-up show. Looking forward to that. And as I said, boy, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I'll be talking with you every week, and we'll have a lot of fun doing this. And, of course, on the Countdown show, Countdown of the Cavs, I'll be joining you and Mr. Zarilla every program. So, and these WEOL listeners, they can't get rid of me.
Nope, no matter how hard they try, they can't get rid of you.
WEOL is in my heart and soul and blood and bone, so I'll always be willing to help out WEOL any way I can.
Good stuff. Tim, thank you as always, and we look forward to hearing from you on Saturday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bull.
Thanks, Tim. Again, that's Tim Alcorn, radio voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's step aside and take a break. Matt Douglas and I come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.